Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach. And it's Let's Talk About Christianity, Keith. I might start doing the intro. You're done.
Okay. All right. Just start over. You do the intro.
Hello, everyone. I'm Zach.
And I'm Keith.
And welcome to Let's Talk About Christianity, a Christian radio program and podcast brought to you by Keith and Zach.
All right. So now that we have that intro out of the way, welcome to episode number 44. You know, the episodes, they just keep adding up. It seems like we're adding a new one every week, doesn't it?
It does seem like it. It feels like we haven't been doing this that often, or we haven't been doing it that long,
though. I know, 44 episodes. I
feel like we're like 20 in, maybe.
Maybe 20, maybe 25, but 44, yeah. Seriously?
That's going by quick.
It's kind of crazy.
We're coming up on the end of season one, too.
We are, and that's coming up about 2 months from now.
Yeah.
Speaking of 2 months from now, about that time, we've got a gospel meeting coming up with Eric Owens here at Paintsville Church of Christ, and that is May 24th?
Yep.
Starting May 24th.
Fantastic speaker.
And looking forward to having him on the show, and since we're talking about things coming up, we would also mention that Oath is in July. And it too is coming up, and hope that you are already making plans to be a part of that great event.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to having Kyle Butt and Lonnie Jones here, and
Rob Kernodle, Lori Boyd, Jock Jones, Lonnie's wife.
We don't know how yet, but we're going to get those guys onto the program.
We're trying to get everybody on the program here. It's gonna be awesome.
It is. It's going to be fantastic. So even as we are wrapping up season one, we've got so many things that we're excited about looking forward to season two. And, you know, here we are at episode 44. I don't know. I could almost guess, less than a year from now, we're going to be going, wow, this is episode 88.
But yeah, that's insane.
Let's do 44 today. We're
going to give you a heart checkup today.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
Yes, we are.
We're not doctors. We don't have medical degrees.
No, alas, we do not. Nor, as far as that goes, did we stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
We did not. No, we did not.
But we're going to talk about the heart today and some things relative to the heart. And, let me say this also, and I'm trying to stay off of the random things right here in the beginning of the program, but if you do not get our verse of encouragement through your social media via Instagram or Facebook, you can even follow those things by hashtag now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that means, but Zach does.
You can click on the hashtag. It'll bring you to where all the posts are, and then at the top, it'll have a follow button. You can literally follow the hashtag. So every time we post a verse of encouragement and we add the hashtag, like we always do, you'll get a notification that we've posted a new one.
And in this case, we means?
Me.
Yes.
We means Zach.
Yes. Because I'm sitting over here smiling right now because I haven't touched any
Keith's
of that.
Keith's the hands-on person in the program, and I'm more of the technology doing stuff on Facebook and Instagram. I'm the social media director.
Yes, and I appreciate that very much.
I like doing it.
One of these days, maybe I'll give you a little break, you know, maybe for like an afternoon.
Right.
I appreciate very much, and we appreciate your feedback and your comments on the verse of encouragement. I know we've had a lot of great feedback on that. And we appreciate that feedback and hope that it is indeed an encouragement to you. Because, and I don't think we've said this recently, but the stated purpose of this program is to
encouragement. Daily.
Well, no, it's you know, we're talking about the Word of God, our Christianity, our salvation, and
our faith,
that was the other thing. And we decided early on that we wanted to present those discussions in a positive, encouraging light. And we hope that we are and will be an encouragement to you. So I don't think we've used this as a verse of encouragement, but it could be one.
Okay, read it.
You know, we're reading from Proverbs 4.
Okay.
And Proverbs 4, and we could actually read the whole chapter, but we start in verse 20. And Solomon says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Now, these were the words of wisdom that Solomon was sharing. And then in
beautiful words of wisdom at that.
Verse 23, he goes on and he says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life."
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we look at this verse, and you talk about random. This was random. Before we began recording this morning, Zach was actually sitting. Was it a YouTube video?
Yeah.
That you were he's watching.
No, it was on Facebook is what it was. Are you talking about the semicolon?
Yes,
video?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
It was on Facebook.
He's watching a video about the semicolon.
The history of the semicolon.
And I get called a grammar nerd.
So
I don't understand
the history
this.
Of the semicolon is actually pretty fascinating.
I've never watched a video on the history of a semicolon.
It stems from the Roman times, okay? Roman sailors they formed it because they formed a
because
sign.
Because the dolphins were swimming
a
between
dolphin,
the anchors.
At the top was an anchor and the dolphin was under it, you know, because dolphins bring caution when they come upon an anchor because why? They don't want to die. So they bring caution upon an anchor. They want to run into it. So that's where the semicolon formed. And if you could see my hands right now, I'm forming a semicolon.
And if you could see my face, I'm just sitting here waiting for him to finish. Good semicolon with your hands. Good,
but the popularity of the semicolon has actually gone down since the early 20th century. It's gone down.
Fascinating.
It has. It hit a big peak, and I think it was like 1870, and then it went back down, and now it's down.
And he's still going.
Sorry.
Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. What is the subject of that sentence, Zach?
The heart.
No.
No.
You.
Oh, you. Okay.
You keep your heart with all diligence.
Okay.
What's the verb?
What's the verb?
Yeah.
Keep.
Keep. Solomon is charging his son. Yes, evidently I've got to
let's break it
with
down
you today.
Right.
The action word is keep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a charge that is given. Now that tells us something about the heart. If we don't guard our hearts, if we don't keep our hearts, if we don't maintain our hearts, if we don't cultivate our hearts, they're going to fall into disrepair. Very much like the physical heart. Of course, we're not talking about the
physical heart. I've got some fun facts about the physical heart, actually.
Oh, goody. I was...
Just three.
I was so hoping you were going to say that.
So, on average, your heart beats at least 100,000 times a day. That's pretty impressive.
Okay.
And in those hundreds of thousands of beats, your heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood. Okay?
But I thought your body only had, like, maybe 2 gallons in it.
But it pumps 2,000 gallons of blood each day.
Where's all that blood coming from?
I don't know. I don't know.
Where's it going?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, fun facts. Continue.
And finally, this all occurs in an organ the size of your fist. So if you make a fist right now, that's the size of your heart.
Yes, your heart is roughly the size of your fist. In other words, it's not a very big organ.
Mm-hmm.
But it, hopefully, anyway, is a reliable organ.
And it correlates perfectly with our spiritual lives. Because
it does.
If you don't take care of your heart, you know, in a spiritual sense, if you don't take care of your heart, then you fall away from God. In a physical sense, if you don't take care of your heart, then you fall into a state of, you know, where you're not healthy and you're sick all the time and you could possibly die.
So here, you know, continuing your analogy, God designed our physical hearts to where they're supposed to beat on their own.
Yeah.
A normal, healthy heart is going to beat on its own.
But with science, now we have supplications for that, you know, pacemakers, things of that sort.
Yes. But, you know, it's supposed to be beating on its own. You don't have to tell it to beat.
Right.
You don't have to consciously 60 to 80 yeah. times per minute say, beat, heart, beat, 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 go,
that'd be,
go, heart,
awful.
Go.
That'd be
yes,
awful.
Yes, it would be. So God designed it to continuously beat on its own, and yet you still have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not eating properly, don't have the proper diet, if you
true.
Don't have the proper... Isn't it kind of funny that even though that thing is beating, what did you say, 100,000 times?
100,000 times a day.
A day. That you still have to exercise it. I mean,
yep.
something that's beating that often, you would think that you could just let it go. And
well, I read an article the other day that said running is good for your heart, but jogging is not good for your heart because jogging supposedly puts extra strain on your heart. I don't know how that would be, though.
Well, I think I'll be careful and stay away from that then.
Stay away from jogging
yes.
and running and try to stay away from walking.
Yes. But, okay, so you got to take care of it and it also is reliant upon other organs
yes,
within the body, but we'll save
it's
that
at the
discussion.
Center of anatomical relevance within your body.
Wow. Did you make that up on your own?
I'm a doctor. I'm Dr. Zach Collins, heart specialist.
So you have to take care of your physical heart, our spiritual heart.
Mm.
And the heart is used in the Bible, and we use it in language, in communication, in different ways. Sometimes we will use it as the seat of our emotions.
Yes.
You know, we say that we will give our heart to someone else,
mm-hmm.
or I love you with all my heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
you might say something like that, and so we recognize that as being the seat of our emotions, but we also recognize it as being the seat of our desires.
Yeah.
Maybe not directly related to emotions, but...
There's three big things for the heart, three big relevances for the heart.
You're big on groups of threes
big
today,
three.
Aren't you?
Big guy of three. So... The first one, like we talked about, was anatomical relevance. You know, it's very relevant. Human body can't survive without your heart, obviously.
Right.
The second one is emotional, which you began to talk about. The second one is emotional relevance, and the third one is spiritual relevance.
Okay.
Now, the second one, you know, if we talk about, do you want to talk about emotional relevance first, or you want to talk about spiritual relevance?
Let's talk about emotional relevance first, and then we'll have
okay,
we'll
well,
come up with a good cool segue into the
you'll come up with a good cool segue
spiritual relevance.
So
it's all relevant.
It's all relevant.
Okay,
though.
All right.
So emotional relevance.
Yes,
heart can do many many things.
It can.
The heart can. I recently wrote an article that I'm actually looking at right now. The heart can inspire.
Mm-hmm.
It can inspire you to do great things,
mm-hmm.
and some of the most genuine inspiration you're ever going to receive comes from within yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And
yes.
The heart can lead?
I would also submit relative to that for you to accomplish great things, your heart, generally speaking, has to be in
it. Yes, it does.
It has mm-hmm. to be all in.
You have to have a passion within yourself, and that usually comes from your heart.
Yes. And so, you know, as we're talking about that, well, go ahead and finish, and then I'll come back to what
I'm
saying.
The heart can be a leader.
Yes.
You know, its leadership can drive you to heights that you never thought you could achieve. You know, the heart can push you to your limit just to show you that you don't have a limit. You know, it can push you over that boundary.
Yes.
Phone call. And the heart can also... I think the heart also challenges you to challenge the unchallengeable. Whoa.
That was way, way too much.
Sorry.
Challenge the unchallengeable.
Challenge the unchallengeable.
Challenge the unchallengeable. Okay.
Okay, and that's the three that I had, the big three
okay.
for me. Groups of three again.
Yes, groups of three. Okay, so you know, we, as far as the emotions go that, that we have, and, mm-hmm. and that's actually a topic that I enjoy studying. And through my studies of emotions, I have come to some conclusions that that maybe the world isn't telling us, because a lot of times the world tells us in our emotions or our emotional responses that, well, you know, they're beyond your control.
That's true.
I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that at all, and I don't really think that the Bible agrees with that either.
That's true.
You know, we find things, and we get to talking about emotions, and one of the easiest emotions to talk about is anger.
Yes, it is.
Anger is a very strong, very powerful emotion.
Something everybody experiences, too,
from time to time. Everybody experiences that emotion. Mm. Some people...
we're popular today.
For some people, it, you know, seems to be out of control.
Yeah.
And they, you know, for whatever reason, they let the emotion go.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you buy into the, you know, the argument that others have a worse temper than other people, you know, there are different types of temper.
Oh, I won't argue with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, because I've seen it. I mean, I'm pretty laid back person. I don't mm-hmm. really get angry. I never really have. I can get angry if certain things, you know, of certain amount of pressure is on top of me. I can get angry, but. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I'm pretty laid back, and it seems to me that you are too, for the most part. So, I mean, there are, and I've seen other people who, like that, they're gone. You know, their anger takes control.
I used to have anger issues.
Would you?
I would. And I'm, you know, self-diagnosing myself as having anger issues. And then one day I very simply said, this is not the way I want to be.
Right.
And began working to change that.
And you can change it.
And that's why I say that the conclusions that I have drawn, a lot of people in the world have not drawn those conclusions. But I very simply decided that was not the way that I wanted to be, and that I was going to change it, and began purposefully, intentionally working to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was honestly probably 30 years ago or so. And, you know, I'm not going to say I never get angry mm-hmm. because I do, but the anger does not control me.
Well, and that goes to another thing the heart can do. The heart can change. It can change.
The heart can change.
Yep.
The heart can change. But that does not mean that we can't control the changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we're talking about these things being, you know, stemming from the heart, whether we're talking about emotions, the conscience.
Ooh, the conscience. That's a good one, too.
Conscience.
I guess we could add a fourth group in.
We could spend an entire episode just talking about the conscience, but... you know, our conscience is only as good as we have trained it to be.
That's true.
Our heart is only going to be as good as we have trained it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon wrote this here in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We have the responsibility to take control of our heart
mm-hmm.
and to maintain that control over our heart.
And it kind of goes back to our discussion we had, I think it was a few episodes ago. You could even bring in, you know, the parable of the soils, maintaining your soil, which is your heart, maintaining your soil so that the seed of God can grow within your heart. If you maintain your soil and you put time into your soil and you study the Word of God and you pray to God and you do various things that strengthen your spiritual life, then the seed of God is going to grow.
Yes.
So I guess you could even make that correlation with it, too. In Luke chapter 8, you can find the parable of the soils.
Yes, there in the first half of that mm-hmm. chapter. So Solomon not only tells us, you know, he's given a directive. He's writing this specifically to his son. As we are reading it, though, we are reading it as individuals.
Yeah.
You are not responsible for the heart of anyone else.
I'm responsible for my heart.
Yes. Now, that's not saying you can't influence the heart of someone else, but ultimately, you are only responsible for your own heart. Okay. And Solomon next says, keep that heart. And then he says, with all diligence. There's a, I don't know if you've seen this commercial or not. I don't even remember what the commercial was about, but I remembered, oh, it was an insurance commercial. You know, hey, you know, if we go accident free, we get a refund at the end of our policy term and everything.
Those insurance commercials are pretty funny
and,
sometimes.
And the guy says, well, we didn't use it. So that makes sense.
Right.
And then the wife says, you know, something to the effect of, too bad that doesn't apply to gym memberships. You know, okay, let's say you go buy a gym membership, but you don't ever go to the gym.
Right. Wasted money.
You know, you may have good intentions.
And you usually buy them probably about the beginning of the year, New Year's resolutions, quotation marks.
Yes.
Let's go buy a gym membership.
But, you know, if you don't use it.
Right. It goes to waste.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay on top of these things.
Yep.
And that's what Solomon's saying about our hearts.
Stay persistent.
With our emotions, with the you know, since you brought up the anatomical
relevance. Yeah. I get three checks today.
Three.
I'm getting three. Challenge the unchallengeable, too.
Yes, that one was a pretty good one. But you do get one demotion for watching a video on the semicolon.
You're just going to make fun of me, but you know you do the same thing.
Yes, I'm going to make fun of you.
Okay.
No,
whatever.
I have never watched a video on the semicolon, on the history.
But you're a grammatical. Semicolon. Anyway, continue.
I'm
better at you in badminton anyway.
The third thing that you mentioned, the spiritual relevance.
Yep, that's the big one.
The spiritual relevance of our hearts.
Got a fun fact for that one, too.
Okay.
So, and I told you this before, but 806 times is the number that the heart is mentioned within the King James Version of the Bible. 806. That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
So that obviously shows you the importance of the heart within your spiritual life, or the usage of the heart within the Bible, within scriptures.
Now, this sort of, I don't know how well it proceeds. I don't know how well it relates to the physical relevance that you were mentioning, but certainly it relates to I guess Jesus does kind of mention the physical here, but you know, the emotional and the spiritual. Matthew chapter 15 and beginning in verse 16, Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man? For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man."
You're on your game this morning.
Let me tell you
with those references.
You know, those things that he mentions here, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. I told you this story before we began recording, but I've got a friend in Peru who posted on Sunday evening, that this past Sunday was April Fool's Day. He posted a picture of him at the airport, and he said, you know, getting ready to board a plane to Tokyo. And I looked at it and I thought he was going to Tokyo. And, you know, I didn't know why.
Right.
It seemed kind of random to me, but I thought, well, he's going to Tokyo.
Right.
And so I actually waited till the next day because I thought, by the time I read this, I thought, he's airborne by now, mm-hmm. you know. And so I waited till the next day and then sent him a message, you know, hey, what are you doing in Tokyo?
Tokyo question
and
mark.
Then he's like, well, actually, I said Tokyo question mark, por qué question mark. But he's like, April Fools, you know. And so then I flipped it on
him. He got you, Keith. You
know? Yeah, but I got him back for it. But, you know, these false witnesses that Jesus mentions here, do you know? I know some people who I honestly do not know if they are capable of telling the truth.
That's good. Yeah, I do too. I do as well.
I know that they are,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know how. They do not know how to tell the truth.
It's almost like it becomes ingrained within them. You know, they say it so much, they tell so many lies and things that they just can't stop telling lies. It becomes to that point.
Right.
That's what it seems like to me.
It makes no sense at all. You know, and those people...
Well, if you tell one lie, you've got to tell another lie to cover that lie. And then it's just like a domino effect.
But here's the thing about it. They didn't have to tell a lie
right in the first place.
Yeah. And yet they did, and then they start piling the lies on top of that, and you know, the first lie was completely unnecessary, mm-hmm. and in the case that I'm thinking of, just flat out unnecessary.
Right.
But you know, when it comes to telling the truth or telling a lie or bearing false witness, you know, where does the idea to bear false witness even come from? Well, Jesus says it comes from our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we have ideas, I used to hear growing up, I don't hear it so much anymore, but I used to hear growing up that there is no such thing as an original idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody has already thought
Whatever you thought, you know, whatever you're thinking about right now, somebody's already thought it.
And it is. You know, when we think about our memories, and I've heard this, I don't remember where, but I've heard that our brain stores everything we mm-hmm. see, everything we hear. We're just not good at pulling that information out of our brains,
right?
But you know, let's take an example. This is a great example. What is one of your favorite foods?
It's Italian anything. Pizza is usually my favorite. Pizza.
Oh, really? Spaghetti. I figured you were going to say cheesecake, but...
That's my favorite dessert.
Oh, okay.
You favorite, said food.
Favorite dessert.
My favorite dessert is cheesecake, yes.
Cheesecake. You know, if you, and by the way, I understand you found a great place for
I did in
cheesecake,
town.
Mm-hmm. And we're not in the business of promoting other businesses. It's not that we have anything against other businesses. We're just not, that's not what we're here for. Mm-hmm. But I think that you could say that this place is a treasure.
Yeah, it is a treasure. There's your riddle.
Yes.
And inside this treasure, you're going to find some gold.
Okay. Cheesecake gold.
Cheesecake gold.
Cheesecake gold. But
that's what it is right there.
And is this by chance on Main?
It's on a street, and it's the main street in Paintsville.
Okay. All right. So,
got it.
Anyway, cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you encountered someone who had never eaten cheesecake before,
I'll say, dude, you got to try this, or you've got to try this. You've got to try this cheesecake.
How are you going to convince them that it's good?
It's so creamy. It's so you're making me crave cheesecake, Keith. You're making me crave it.
Why would you crave it?
Because when I think about it, I want a piece of cheesecake.
Okay. Those memories of cheesecake
mm-hmm.
have been filed away in your brain.
My mouth is watering.
And they have formed a bias mm-hmm. in your brain that says, I prefer this over all other desserts.
Yep.
And it's based upon what you have heard,
mm-hmm.
what you have experienced with your empirical senses.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those things are stored, and they have created a positive, in this case, a positive bias in favor of that cheesecake over all other desserts.
Well, and I've experienced that in other things too. You know, you'll be walking somewhere, or you'll walk by a restaurant or something, and you'll smell it. And then when you smell it, it's almost like nostalgia, and you know, certain memories start coming back. You know, you start thinking about things, and it's just the power that your senses have over your brain. It's insane.
It is.
Really, to think
it is. So we've got our brains always at work there, and our brain is influencing that seed of emotion, that seed of desire that we have.
Yep.
So Jesus says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Okay, so we have, for those things to come out, we have had to have
put them in
at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that putting in of those things at some point may have been intentional, and it may not have been intentional. Yep. It may have been just exposure to what we've experienced.
Surroundings, environments, things like that.
And going back to the example of food, you know, sometimes you will walk by a restaurant you've never eaten at before, but the smells that you might experience
bring back memories of other restaurants or other places you've eaten at.
Or other foods, and so they are forming an image or a taste sensation, you know, in your mind based upon those previous experiences.
Have you ever ate dinner and watch the Food Network while you ate dinner?
No.
Let me tell you, it's something you need to experience. If you eat dinner, next time you eat dinner, which is probably going to be tonight, hopefully.
I probably will eat today,
You need to watch Food Network. Turn you on a cooking show while you eat your food. And it makes your food taste better. I don't know what it is about it. It's watching those people chop up the vegetables and cook these things. It's insane.
See,
it's good.
You know, I keep waiting, you know, with the advances in technology and the televisions, and you know, just the quality is just astounding now compared to what it was when I was growing up. And I keep waiting for them to come out with something new.
Yeah.
Smell-o-vision.
That would be a good one. I've actually read articles, Keith, about grocery stores putting smell, like when you walk into the produce section of a grocery store, they would add smell sensors at the top, and it would, you know, put out smells of like strawberries and bananas and things like that while you walk through this. And every single section you go to, this happens.
Why do grocery stores put the bakery in the front of the store?
So you can smell the fresh bread.
Yes.
I mean, it's an ingenious idea.
That's why they do it, because as soon as you walk in the door, you are
It's the same thing as watching Food Network when you eat dinner, I promise.
Yes, but without the smells.
Without the smell, yeah, that's true.
And that's why we need smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision, okay.
But anyway, that's...
That would make really good cooking shows. Smell-o-vision would make excellent cooking shows.
Oh, if we could put an app on our phones, if I could come up with that app that could generate smells, I would call it a smellograph.
Soon coming to Let's Talk About Christianity, the smellogram, or smellograph, or whatever you want.
Smellogram, yeah. Smellogram. That's good. But
anyway.
Anyway, those things had to have been input at some point. We can't control everything that we input, but we can control most of what we input.
Yeah,
We can control the bias that our brains are generating in favor or against these things.
That's true.
And with these things that Jesus mentions here in Matthew 15:19, you know, that bias has to be established in favor of good if we are going to keep our hearts with all diligence.
That's true.
So, so did you have another point there relative to spiritual things?
Not with this verse. Now we can go over to Matthew 6:21.
Okay.
And which is the same book, just a few chapters earlier, and we can talk about in Matthew 6:20. it says, now I'm reading from the ESV, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then you go down to verse 21 and it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I recently, like I mentioned before, wrote an article about this, or it's a blog, but I wrote it about this verse, and we were, you know, basically what I said was this verse, I think, is referring to priorities. Would you agree with that, priorities?
Oh, yes.
So this verse is referring to priorities, and basically, if your heart lies with things that are ungodly, things that aren't of God, then that is where your heart will lie. And if your priorities lie with things that are with God and things that lie with things eternal, then that's where your heart will lie. And it's a simple concept. Wherever your priorities lie within your life, you know, that's where your heart is going to lie. Now, we have various priorities within our lives. You know, we have priorities with our family. We have priorities with our job, our career. We have priorities with community groups. I mean, you have various priorities within your life. But what should be our main priority?
Well, all of those have to have the spiritual,
yes,
at the center. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and if our family priority is directed toward the spiritual, if our secular priority is directed toward the spiritual, if our hobbies and our leisure activities are directed toward the spiritual, that's all going to maintain, mm-hmm, a healthy heart,
yep,
for the spiritual.
Good point.
If, however, none of these things are directed toward the spiritual, and none of these things have a spiritual aspect to them, we should not wake up one day shocked to find that our spiritual health is in serious decline.
That's true. That's a good point.
And we see it all the time. There are so many things in the world pulling us in so many different directions, mm-hmm, that it's very easy for us to... Well, I'll use this example. It's very easy for us to look at a material possession, and it does not matter what that material possession, mm-hmm, is. It could be any material possession. But look at that material possession and either consciously or subconsciously say, that has absolutely no bearing whatsoever on my spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we devote ourselves to that material possession and its use... And I say that because it could be a tool that we have. You know, we have so many different tools that we use in our lives, whether, right, it's an automobile or a television, mm-hmm, or a coffee maker or
whatever it is.
Yeah. That tool is. I would challenge us to find the spiritual relevance of that tool,
yep,
in our lives. If there is no spiritual relevance, then
it doesn't need to be in your life.
We shouldn't be surprised when we find ourselves using that tool in ungodly manners.
That's a good point. And, you know, it's like you said, it's easy to get caught up in things that are material, and you know, different blessings within our life, you know, cause us sometimes to have our priorities lie with those blessings. And you think back, and I'm going to mention this again because this is... I've been thinking about this parable a lot lately, and I preached a sermon about it, but I'm thinking back to the parable of the soils again with things that lie in the weeds, when your seed lies within the weeds. If your priorities lie with the weeds, then that's where your heart is going to lie, and that's why your heart cannot grow and mature as the verse says. That's why your spiritual life cannot grow and mature as the verse says.
If you look back at the children of Israel as they were preparing to enter the land of Canaan,
mm-hmm,
God told them, you must drive out the inhabitants of the land. Now, was there anything wrong with those people, you know, the,
right,
people themselves? Was there like some genetic thing that God wanted them to, the Israelites, to stay away from?
Mm-hmm.
No. It was the idolatry that they had.
Yeah.
And God wanted them to remove the people from the land, to remove the idolatry,
right,
from the land. And it's repeated in a number of places there in the books of Joshua and Judges that they failed to drive out the inhabitants of the land. They did not do what God told them to do. And so within the boundaries of that land, the idolatrous influences still remained.
Mm-hmm.
And with the remaining of those idolatrous influences came, well, that those idolatrous influences began to bleed over into the lives of God's people and pulled their hearts away from God. When we look at the blessings that God has given us, and there are so many things in our lives we could count as blessings.
A lot of things.
And again, we could talk about relationships that we have. We could talk about material things that we have. You know, a great blessing that we need right now, even though we're, you know, a quarter of the way into the month of April, heaters.
Heaters, yeah. Yeah. We're probably going to need some snow plows,
yes,
too, here
real
soon.
Yes, we may need some snow removal equipment here pretty soon.
I mean, this is insane.
You know, and okay, we're recording this on Thursday. It's going to air on Friday, April 6th. As we are recording this, we've got a winter storm watch in effect for Friday night and Saturday.
And we're in the section with the biggest risk too.
And you know, we're looking at I don't know, I've seen forecasts of everywhere from an inch to a foot of snow.
8 to 10 inches is what the one you were reading me.
Yes, That's, well, that one.
I don't think we're going to get that much. We could get a couple inches. That's what I'm going to go with, a couple inches.
Couple inches.
Yeah,
couple
2 inches, maybe 3.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, it'll probably come Saturday. It'll be 80 degrees outside and no snow in sight. You know, it's just how Kentucky weather is.
It'll be 80 on Saturday, but, you
know. It's just how Kentucky weather is.
Heaters, blessings. I forgot what I was talking about there for a second. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got so many blessings in our lives, but if we focus our attention only on the blessings themselves and fail to give credit to the one who has blessed us.
Ooh, mark for Keith right there. That's a good point.
Where are those blessings going to lead us? You look at Solomon, for example, known throughout history as the wisest man or the wisest king, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, and one of the wealthiest of the kings that ever existed. And he was blessed in so many different ways, and yet those blessings began pulling him away from God.
Mm-hmm.
When we find the blessings in our lives pulling us away from God, or we simply fail to make that connection back to our creator, back to our sustainer, back to our blesser. I don't know if blesser is actually a
word.
You
created a word. We like to create words here at LTAC.
You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know, if we fail to keep and to maintain that connection, it's almost guaranteed that the blessings are going to lead us in a direction that was not intended by the one who blessed us.
Path of materialism. It can lead us down a path of materialism.
And, you know, I used an example in the invitation last night of how rough some other people have it spiritually.
Yeah. We think we have it rough in this country a lot of times with different social issues and things of that sort. We have nothing on remote countries in the world, or even more rural countries.
Now, I've got a theory on that as well. But okay. You know, we've been blessed so abundantly here in the USA that with the abundance of blessings, our focus is more on the blessings themselves, and we have time to worry about things that maybe we shouldn't even be worrying about. Yeah. You know,
it's a good point.
You look at you know, so many of these, you know, if you look at contestants and some of these pageants and things of that, and what is your goal for life? What would you like to see most? Oh, I want world peace, you know, I want these social issues. You know what? These social issues shouldn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
If our focus and our attention is on God, these things matter. wouldn't even be in existence.
Yeah.
And yet, we're finding so much of the attention of our country being devoted trying to fix ourselves for the problems that you know. I'll say some problems have been created for us, but
right.
They shouldn't be problems.
And you know, meanwhile, then you look at countries like Peru, where we do a lot of the mission work
mm-hmm.
from this congregation. And you look at, like, the story you were telling last night about the church being evicted twice, I think, is mm-hmm. twice already.
Yes.
You know, their preacher driving a vehicle that, you know, they just don't, there's not a lot there. They don't have a lot of money.
Right.
They're very, very poor. Everyone is very poor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're, like you said, they're experiencing a lot of the problems that the first century church experienced.
Right.
When they first formed. And then you look to us and, you know, we've got lights and we've got a set that we're filming or we're recording at, you know, we're recording our own podcast, you know, we've got laptops in front of us and TV, and these other countries don't have that at all.
I won't say that the tools aren't available,
but the technology to them, that we have, they don't have a lot of times.
A lot of times. But you know, that's one of those questions. Does our attention become so focused on the technological blessings that we have mm-hmm. that, you know, we're missing what we should be focusing on? And that, of course, is the spiritual.
Yep.
You know, all of this technology is great. If we are failing to proclaim the Word of God through the use of this technology,
mm-hmm.
You know, we, and you mentioned those things that we've got. I mean, on this table in front of us, we've got a television, we've got two iPads, two phones, a computer, you know, all of this stuff here. You know what? We could be spending all of our time on Facebook watching videos about the history of semicolons.
Next time, I'm going to look at the history of periods too.
Commas.
I actually kind of watched it. It was basically about periods and commas. Anyway, continue.
But that's the point. If we are not using the blessings for those things that are focusing the attention mm-hmm. on the one who has blessed us, then they are going to pull us away. And I actually wrote an article here. I don't remember how long ago it's been, but it essentially was, you know, every Christian has a Bible on their phone now. I'm using that as a very broad mm-hmm. generalization, but it's available. These Bibles are free. You can put them on your phone. You can you can have it anywhere, anytime.
Well, I think you really could have it on any single tablet that we have in existence with the new technology that we have, because you've got, whether you have an Android or whether you have an Apple computer, you know, you've either got iTunes or you've got Google Play, both of which you can download a free Bible app to. Or you can go to any store and buy a Bible as well.
But in this article, I was encouraging people to leave their phones
mm-hmm.
behind. Leave them outside. Excuse me. Sorry. Because there are so many other things on there that can distract us. I know when I go into worship, my phone does not go into the auditorium.
Except that one time that you preached and you used it. One time.
I will take it in and use it
as
an example. Mm-hmm. Yes, as a prop. But as a general rule, it doesn't even go into the auditorium with me.
It's a good rule. Oftentimes people, you know, they would much rather, you know, get on their phones, pay attention to what's going on Facebook or Instagram, look at those things while worship service is going on. And, you know, that's a priority problem more so than.
The distractions, though, are always going to be there. Zach, look at verse 20 there if you're still in Matthew 6.
Okay.
Where's the verb?
Where is the verb? see.
Huh. Yet another phone ringing.
We get a lot of phone calls here at LTAC and a lot of text messages.
Okay, so the action word in verse 20 is, well, actually it's a phrase, lay up.
Mm-hmm.
It's an action.
Store. I think that, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven.
Would you save? Would that be a good analogy? Save for yourself treasures in heaven?
Yes, but the point I really wanted to make was this should be an action.
Yes, it should.
You know, it shouldn't be an intent. It shouldn't be a wish or a remote thought. It should be an action that we are consciously, purposefully doing all the time. Because as Jesus said in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Mm-hmm.
If we want our heart to follow the spiritual things, we're going to have to be laying up spiritual things.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. And if we are only laying up material things, that is where our heart is going to be.
And instead of falling down a path of righteousness, we're going to follow down a path of materialism, something that is unworthy of God. And go ahead, continue.
Well, I was just going to say, we're not the first to do this.
No, we're not.
And you know, if the world keeps spinning, we won't be the last.
Generations and generations of societies and cultures have always done it.
Yes. But we know, and it's not just us, this generation, but we know what God wants us to do about it. He wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven.
Mm. But then, you know, something, when it comes to priorities and things of that sort, you kind of have to look at, you have to develop a mindset almost. And that mindset, I think that mindset has to stem from, you know, your love of God. It should flow from, you know, every orifice of your body.
Yes.
You know, and once you develop that mindset, once you develop that conviction to God to store your priorities with Him rather than to store your priorities with things of the world and things that are temporary and not eternal, then you become very dedicated to doing those things. And it's a mindset that just, you know, your whole body does it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay.
It's kind of a choppy point, but it got there.
But it was a good way to end that discussion. Anything that you want to add?
Nope. I've added all I can add, I think.
Oh, well, that's unusual.
I can read a joke. I got a joke.
We could definitely add more, but
right.
You know, with the time that we have remaining, I want to give you some contact information. Of course, we would love for you to go to our Facebook page, and that is
Facebook.com/Let's Talk About Christianity, or you can look it up in the search bar, Let's Talk About a Christian Radio Program and Podcast.
And on Instagram?
LTAC Podcast. At LTAC Podcast is our username on Instagram.
And you can find the daily verse of encouragement there, and you can even
on Facebook, yeah.
On Instagram and Facebook, and you can also search by hashtag.
Yes, you can
there on Instagram.
Well, you can click on one of the pictures on our Instagram, and it'll have the hashtag. You click on the hashtag, it'll take you to all the posts, and you can follow it.
So go to Instagram, follow us there on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Go to Facebook. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook, share our posts. We want to get the word out, what we are doing, what we are accomplishing.
Website, too.
Website, letstalkaboutchristianity.com. And on that website, you will find our archived podcasts. Not all of them, but I think the last 20 or 25, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then also the blog that you mentioned. And I've been dropping like one a week right now.
That's what I do once a week.
Is all that I've been able to do here lately. But hopefully the schedule is going to get a little more.
I try to write one a week is what I try to do, and usually you write one a week as well.
But anyway, there are a lot of resources on there, And we encourage you to
take advantage of
them. Take advantage of them, absolutely. And then, of course, you can email us. Our contact information, my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Mine is zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com, Z-A-C-H.
And we would love to have your feedback, your questions, your comments. Maybe good recipes. If you've got a good recipe, send it to us, since we talked so much about food today.
Thought about doing a food blog, Keith, because as much as I cook and stuff, that would be a good investment for me.
Maybe you should do that.
Anyway.
You might...
Could possibly do something with it.
You might stumble upon something great there.
Anyway, continue.
We want to thank you for listening to us. As we said, this is episode 44, and we... appreciate you and the things that you contribute to our program.
We hope that your heart checkup went well.
And we will see you next week.